Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
NFL Network, the latest on Friday, I believe, to say that he believes Washington could be one of those teams interested in trading up in the draft. Look, there's plenty now, plenty of trade up talk over the last week or so. Obviously, the Lombardi report was the biggest one. I'm going to ask a simple question, and I want you to call in with your thoughts, and that is this. Is there any player in this draft worth trading up for if you're Washington? If you're Washington and you're making the call, is there any player in this draft that you would want them to trade up for? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Our BetQL listener lines are open right now for that. You asked me something during the break, or you said something to me during the break. I want you to repeat it for everybody.
Basically, if Washington trades up and they trade up for a quarterback, specifically Trey Lance or Justin Fields, is it possible that they do that and it's worth it to do it if the quarterback sits for a year? And you have to give up picks for next year, obviously.
My immediate answer to that is you don't trade up, let's just say, to 4 with Atlanta or 2-8 with Carolina or 7 with Detroit and take Justin Fields or Trey Lance or Mac Jones and then intend on just sitting him for the entire year. That just doesn't happen. We tend to get stuck on the Patrick Mahomes aberration. That is the exception to the rule. You know, I went through this during the Dwayne Haskins rookie season in 2019. He essentially, along with Mahomes, and I think it was Locker. I think Locker was the other one. Were the only quarterbacks drafted in the top half of the first round to not start 5 games into their rookie year. Everybody else had gotten their first start 5 games into their rookie season. Now, a lot of times that is because they are being drafted by a team that isn't very good and they want to start to find out right away whether or not the player is for real, and they want to start that process of building that franchise quarterback. There's no doubt, by the way, let's just on this end, that teams don't wait on quarterbacks. They're not patient on quarterbacks, especially if they take them with high picks. There doesn't seem to be this preference to let them sit behind a veteran guy and just wait their turn. It just doesn't happen that way anymore. And by the way, when they did wait, with the exception of Mahomes, Haskins, and Locker, it turned out that the reasons that they waited and they didn't get starts in their first 5 games is because they weren't very good. And I still contend that if Mahomes had played his rookie year, Kansas City would not have been eliminated in the first round of the playoffs by the Tennessee Titans. I still believe that.
I think you're right. People just have to look back at his preseason, his rookie year. He was destroying everyone.
So I think if they were to move up and take a quarterback, Ryan Fitzpatrick's doing the same thing he did last year in Miami. He's keeping the seat warm until the guy's ready to go, whether that's 2 weeks into the year, 4 weeks into the year, 6 weeks into the year, probably 5 or less. So my answer to your question is I just don't see them drafting, moving up and taking a quarterback, and then the guy just sits for a full year. By the way, can they afford to have a guy sit for a year? You know, yeah, if he's the right guy. You know, if they end up hitting on Mahomes and Mahomes is sitting behind Alex Smith, or it's, you know, Fields sitting behind Ryan Fitzpatrick. But I want them to be tempted to play the guy. There's no doubt Andy Reid was tempted at some point during that year. If you go back to 2017, that season, there was a stretch of games, and I need to pull this up real quickly, where Kansas City couldn't score. Like, they weren't scoring points, and they were losing games. You don't think it occurred to him, knowing what we know about Mahomes now and what they had to know during that season about putting Mahomes in there? If he's really that good, here's the stretch of games, all right, in 2017 with Alex Smith, the quarterback, and Mahomes riding the bench. You know, they started off 5-0 that year. If they don't start out 5-0, maybe we see Mahomes a lot sooner. But there's a stretch during that Kansas City year where they lost to the Giants 12-9 in overtime. They lost to Buffalo 16-10. And the Dallas 28-17 they lost, 12-9 to the Giants, and 16-10 to Buffalo. By the way, I'm pretty sure that none of those teams that year were good teams. I could be wrong. In 2017, who won the NFC East? It was probably, actually, was it the Cowboys? I can't remember. Anyway, my point is, if you trade up for a guy and you're thinking, well, we're just going to sit him, and then it's really comfortable to sit him all year long, then you probably drafted the wrong guy. Because if you drafted the right guy, he's going to make it obvious. Now, if Ryan Fitzpatrick is dealing and he's playing well and they're 7-2, or they're, you know, let's move it, you know, closer to the beginning of the season, they're 4-1, you know, just like Alex Smith started off 5-0 that year, so they rode him. But really, that may be the only reason that we have the Mahomes example. It's because they had a really good team and they started off so quickly. They started off 5-0. So anyway, I'm sort of rambling here per usual. But if they're going to trade up for a guy, if that guy isn't good enough to play pretty early in his rookie year, and it's not obvious that he's ready to play 5-6 weeks into the season, then I'm afraid they may have gotten the wrong guy. I know Josh Allen played a lot, obviously, and he wasn't very good. A lot of these guys weren't necessarily great in their rookie years, and then, you know, things developed. By the way, they got, not every guy that started, because almost all of them did, as top half of the first round guys, not all of them ended up being good. I'm not suggesting that they played them because they were good. I'm saying the guys that didn't play, Haskins and Locker, I think, were two of the three, along with Mahomes, through the 2019 season. It turned out it was because they weren't very good. Anyway, 301-230-0980. The question really is there a player in the draft that is worth trading up for? We're getting a lot of the trading up talk. Peter Schrager from NFL Network, the latest. Obviously, the Lombardi report from last week, the biggest. By the way, there's also a report that the Eagles potentially are looking to trade back up, and maybe for a quarterback. I'm wondering if any teams are going to trade up to take Kyle Pitts, the best player in the draft. If you end up getting four quarterbacks, there's no way Cincinnati and Miami pass on Pitts, right? No chance. But I wonder if somebody would go up to Cincinnati if they take Sewell, the left tackle, or if they go up to Miami and they say that we're not going up there to get the fifth quarterback. We're going up there to get Kyle Pitts. That's the one player in the draft that I think you go up and get. By the way, if you are a big Trevor Lawrence fan, I'm making him available. 301-230-0980. Is there any player in the upcoming draft, any player at all, that you think is worth trading up for? We have to start taking some of this seriously as if it's a possibility. I told Cooley in my conversation with him on my podcast Saturday, and he senses the same thing, that all of this talk and all of this activity isn't that there may be something to it. And I mentioned on Friday to all of you that I haven't heard from any of the people that I talk to that this is all BS. And many times it gets shot down right away. And correct me, Brendan, if I'm wrong on this, because I certainly, and we've got Ben Standing on at 8, but I don't think Ben or JP or John or Nikki or anybody covering the team has come out and said it's not what they're interested in doing. Nobody's reported the opposite of Lombardi, right?
Not at this point, no.
Now, the team is more tight-lipped than they've been in the past, which, by the way, thank God. There's no doubt that there's less leaking. I know we had the issue early last year with the Haskins stuff. There's a lot of frustration there with the staff and the organization. But really, they've been pretty good compared to the era that preceded them. That's a good thing. But 301-230-0980. I'm just going to, before I answer the question myself, I don't have a problem if they trade up for a quarterback that they love. I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with them standing at 19. If there's somebody that they really like, if it's Lance or Fields or Jones, and that guy's sitting there at 7, and they make a big move with Detroit to go up and take the quarterback for their future, I don't have a problem with them thinking aggressively at that position. As much as I love Kyle Pitts, I would not trade up for Kyle Pitts. Is there a player in this draft that I would trade up for? Probably not. But I'm not going to knock them if they do it, because they're going to know a lot more. You know, Lawrence isn't perfect. Zach Wilson isn't perfect. There's a lot about Fields that I like. There's a lot about Lance that I think is very intriguing, but it's hard to know. Mac Jones, no chance. And he might end up being the best of all of them. What we are going to do as we get closer to this too, Brendan, is and I'll bring some of this to the radio show, is get Cooley to break down some of the other guys that will be there in the second and third round. Because I'm very interested to see what he thinks in Trask. I like Trask, but my God, he's so much different than everybody else that's going to go 1 through 5 with the exception of Jones. That's who he's most like. It's so funny because before this year, if you had said to me Mac Jones or Kyle Trask, I would say, well, of course it's going to be Trask who goes before Jones. And now Jones is a possibility at 3 to San Francisco. All right, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Ben Standing's coming up at 8. We'll get to some Nats talk with Chelsea Janes at 8:30. But right now, phone lines, our BetQL listener lines are open. There's been a lot of football discussion about Washington trading up over the last week. Is there any player in the upcoming draft you would want them to trade up for? 301-230-0980. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 9.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Team980.com, also on the Odyssey app.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Are you ready?
All right, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Lots of discussion recently about Washington trading up for a quarterback in the last week. The Lombardi Report, Peter Schrager said it the other day. Look, I don't think they're going to. I want to make that really clear. That's my guess. I don't think they're going to trade up for anybody in this draft. I think they're going to pick at 19 on Thursday night, you know, April 29th, whatever date that is. That's what I think they're going to do. I think it's going to be too pricey to move up, and I think that teams that do move up are going to have more to trade an Atlanta or a Detroit or Carolina as an example. So I don't think it'll happen. It doesn't mean that I think that they're not interested in it. I'm not sure. I think, you know, it's interesting that what we do have as history here in the offseason is them being aggressive at quarterback, them making, you know, a big move to try to trade for Matt Stafford. So why would we think that if they think they've got a quarterback of the future that they are in love with, that all of them, I mean, there are a lot of decision makers right now, Herney and Mayhew and Gribble and Polian and Rivera and Stokes, all of them. You know, if they're all in, you know, concert with one another that Justin Fields is worth trading up for, I'm not discounting the possibility. I just don't think it will ultimately happen. That's my guess. That's how I would bet. Is there a player in this draft that you would trade up for? There isn't for me. You know, now when we're talking about trading up, we're talking about them. So you're going from 19 to, you know, let's make it clear here. You're not going from 19 to 13 to get Kyle Pitts. You know, you're not going from 19 to 12 to get Micah Parsons. You know, one of my favorite players in this draft. You're going 19 into the top eight, which basically is going to require two future ones to move up. And if you're talking about a non-quarterback, let's keep in mind that really the only time that's happened recently, I think, is Julio Jones. It was worth it. It was awfully pricey for Atlanta to do that. They moved from 27 to 11, Brendan, is my recollection, something like that, 27 to 9. And it was multiple, you know, four picks plus. I got to pull up the Julio Jones deal to be sure here. Why don't you pull it up and let me know what the Julio Jones price was. But it was very pricey to move up. I know it was 27 to something, if my memory serves me correctly. There's not a player that I would move into the top eight in this draft for. I like Micah Parsons a lot. I like Kyle Pitts a lot. I do like a lot about Trevor Lawrence. I like a lot about Justin Fields. Brendan was saying during the break, God, remember a year ago, it was Lawrence and Fields. Yeah, that was it. That was the conversation. It was Lawrence and Fields. There wasn't really that much, you know, there was some buzz about Lance, obviously none about Wilson really, you know, and nothing about Mac Jones. Kyle Trask was thought to be a first-round, you know, caliber guy. All right, 301-230-0980. Let's start with Ronnie. Ronnie, go ahead. Is there a player in this draft you think it's worth Washington to go big and trade up for? Go ahead.
Yes, I agree with you. I don't think we're going to do anything that drastic. But if I had to do it, I would do it for Kyle Pitts. And I know you don't agree with it, but to me, Kyle Pitts is the best player in the draft offensively.
Yeah, I agree with that. So I
believe Kyle Pitts will change the whole scheme of things because he'll hit. He can line them up anywhere. He'll give people problems across the middle. You can line them up outside, inside, wherever you want. So that's why I think he's that versatile. And I think I would take him. Although I like all the other receivers, I would take him of all of them and the quarterbacks.
Yeah, thanks for the call. I just don't, I would not trade multiple firsts and probably a third to move up to take him, as great as he is. Now, if I only had to move up five or six spots, that's one thing. But again, we're talking about moving into the top eight picks in the draft to get a player. Is there a player worth doing that for? Because there's a lot of talk about it right now. By the way, it's time for our cash code. This hour's code word is SNOW. Text SNOW, S-N-O-W, to 72881 before 8 a.m. for your chance to win $1,000 in the national contest. Message and data rates may apply. That's SNOW to 72881. 301-230-0980. Our BetQL listener lines are open. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Is there a player in this draft you think it's worth Washington trading up? And when I say trade up, trading up big time, like into the top eight. You're going to lose your 2022 and 2023 first-round picks more likely than not to move up that high. Disco's on hold. Go ahead, man.
Hey, Kevin, how you doing, man? Love
I'm
your
well.
Show. Hey, Kevin. So, yes, I do. And I agree with what you said. It has to be your guy. I remember Jay Gruden. You had a great interview with Jay Gruden, and I think it was on your show. And you might have asked him unequivocally, what has been the problem with consistent winning? And he, without hesitation, said the lack of having a quarterback. And, you know, if it's Ron's guy, let Ron go get his guy. So I would move up to get his guy, like you said. The issue is we haven't had that. The other thing, and what you were saying, well, you don't draft him to sit. We just don't do that anymore. I think in this particular case, you have Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's your wild card, Kevin, because with Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's so charismatic, and I think he's a guy you can win with. I think he immediately takes the pressure off having to play that, even though conventionally that's not what we've done. And then second, you've got Ron Rivera, who I think is probably one of the only coaches that we've had recently that can temper those expectations to say, hey, yes, I know we traded up to get him, but he's not going to play unless he blows us away. So, yes, you have to get your quarterback. Because if you think we might be picking in the 20s next year. So you're back
That's
in
right.
the same situation. So, Kevin, if your guy's there, go get him. If you have to sit him, who cares?
Look, it's never – thanks for the call. I'm appreciate it. First of all, it's never too early to go for it on a quarterback. I think that answer is not one that I agree with. You know, when people say, you know, you don't need him now. You can wait. Wait for what? If your guy is there, if you're all bought in on a guy and you guys really think he's the guy, go get him. Go get him. I don't know that any of those guys are the guys. I don't think they're going to do it, and I don't think that there's a player in this draft that I would spend a lot of future picks to move up to take. But if they think that, you know, Trey Lance is the guy and they're going to go up to four to make sure they get him after San Francisco takes Mac Jones and it would be on draft night, they'd have to be sure. Go for it. I'm all for it. It's never too early on a quarterback. Never too early. Oh, well, we're not ready to win the Super Bowl now. Well, okay, so what are you going to – you're going to wait 2 years from now, you're going to be ready to win the Super Bowl or contend for the Super Bowl, and then you're going to draft a rookie quarterback? Well, that doesn't make sense either. Let's go to Gus. Gus, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, Kevin. I wouldn't do it. I mean, I think it's going to be too much draft capital you give up to move up. Just look what we have this year.
Okay. That's fine. Appreciate the call. What you have this year is you've got, you know, an answer. And I do believe that. I'm very, very bullish on Ryan Fitzpatrick and the kind of year he can have and the kind of player he can be for this team to make this team, which is ready in spots, not ready in others, but can elevate maybe this team offensively. Keep it competitive. Keep it in the mix in the division after winning it last year, regardless of what the record is. And again, I've said this before. I don't know that Ryan Fitzpatrick is just a one-year answer. He could be a two-year answer. He's not going to be a two-year answer if they move up and take a quarterback. He may not even be the full year one answer. And if they did move up and they said, we just really loved the player, Justin Fields. We just really loved the player, and this was a chance, and we were at 19, and there's no guarantee we're going to have that opportunity next year or the year after. And then they would probably say, yeah, we signed Ryan Fitzpatrick, and this gives us the opportunity to sit Justin for his rookie year. Well, if Justin ends up being the guy you think he is, he better be in the lineup at some point over a 39-year-old guy. Let's go 301-230-0980. Is there any player in this draft you think it's worth trading up for? Rick in North Carolina. Rick, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, Kevin. It all depends. Or what happens on draft day, because if the 49ers moved up to number three to take Mac Jones, then that leaves Fields and Lance. So who's next in play for a quarterback? Is it Denver at nine?
No, it could be Atlanta at four. It could be Atlanta at four.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, but I think they're going to go with Matt Ryan.
But certainly that pick becomes very crucial, and that's the pick people are going to try to trade up for. You know, if Atlanta sticks there and takes Pitts, and then you go, you know, Miami-Cincinnati before you get to Detroit. Detroit would be the next one. I mean, do you think the Lions think that Jared Goff is their long-term answer? If they love Lance or Fields, and one of those two was sitting there at seven, you're going to have. And by the way, Carolina traded for Darnold, which I think does exclude them, because I think one of the reasons they made that move is they probably didn't love the opportunity for whatever players would be left there potentially or a trade up. But yeah, Denver would be next for sure. You know, if you've got a guy that you love, you got to get in front of Denver at the very least, if not higher.
Yeah, well, Denver, they've been searching for a quarterback for the last 6 or 7 years since the Super Bowl. I think they'll take Micah Parsons at nine. I mean, I know Drew Lockett. I mean, he hasn't proven himself, but this is his third year. I mean, you just got to give these quarterbacks a chance. Now, I don't think the 49ers traded up to number three to get Mac Jones. I mean, it just seemed like too much to give up for him. I think Justin Fields is the guy at three. I think 49ers are blowing smoke at people. I don't think they trade all those picks for Mac Jones, because I don't think Fields has a better upside. What do you think?
I like Fields. I do. Thanks for the call, Rick. Good to hear from you. I do like Fields. I'm surprised that Fields seems to be, and again, this changes and it's going to continue to change in terms of the reporting. But of the five guys, and, you know, at least leading up to maybe late last week, Fields seemed to be like the fifth guy. You know, Lawrence, Wilson, Jones, and then Lance, and then Fields. I don't know, man. I love the stuff that I've read about Fields, about smart, about leadership. And one of the things, and over the weekend, I already told you I watched a lot of Trey Lance in sort of preparation of Cooley's film breakdown. Watched a lot of Justin Fields, because he's going to do Justin Fields today on his film breakdown. Man, is Fields accurate, Brendan. He's a very accurate thrower. You know, I think part of the problem with Fields is he's had a couple of really bad games, and that may have, gotten people off. He had a bad game against Northwestern in the Big Ten title game. By the way, Northwestern was an outstanding defensive football team this year in college football. He had the end of the game against Clemson in the semifinals after the 2019 season, which was unfortunate, you know, and there was a bit of a miscommunication with the receiver. He also had a bad game this year against Indiana. They won that game. I mentioned that game last week. But God, when you watch him, he throws every single level with accuracy. You know, he started off the year against Nebraska. I think, hold on, I'm pulling it up here. I think it was 20 of 21. Yeah, his first three games this year against Nebraska, Penn State, Rutgers, 20 of 21, 28 of 34, 24 of 28. He was basically completing 87% of his passes there for a while. I like Fields. I like Fields a lot. They know a lot more about Fields than I do in terms of all the other stuff that's important. But I do like Justin Fields. Paul, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Kevin? How you doing, man?
I'm good, Paul. What's up, man?
Happy Monday. All right, so I'm going to give you two answers on this. First, the answer is, no, I don't want them to trade up to get anybody. But if they did, if they wanted to, the two people that I think that you trade up for is Kyle Pitts and Justin Fields. And the reason why I say that is because if you get Kyle Pitts, you will have given Ryan Fitzpatrick a plethora of weapons. I mean, you know, Kyle Pitts with Logan Thomas on the two tight end set, and then you have Samuels and McLaurin along with Humphrey and Cam Sims. I think that and Antonio Gibson and McKissick. Oh my gosh, I'm having dreams about this.
if you got Kyle Pitts on the field. Within a half a season, would become your number one offensive skill position threat.
Yeah, and he's
got a bigger upside than Terry McLaurin, just so everybody understands. He's Kelsey. He's, he's Gronk. He doesn't have the build of Gronk or Kelsey, but he has the route-running ability, the hands, the after-catch, the speed, the whole thing.
And my coach always said the two best friends of a quarterback is his running back and his tight end. Those are definitely his two best friends in terms of outlets and quick hitters. So, I mean, if they were going to do it, but I wouldn't give up too much. I wouldn't give up the farm. I would ask, because see, my thing is on the quarterback situation, if Ryan Fitzpatrick can hold it down for 2 years, a lot can happen in 2 years. However, by this being what they call the quarterback draft, because from what I'm hearing, a lot of college analysts speculate is that next year is going to be kind of dry.
Yeah.
So this is the year.
You got the kid from North Carolina. It's not right now. You know, look, this time last year, we were talking about Fields and Lawrence, and that was it. And now we got five guys that are going to go in the top, you know, 8 or 9 or 10, more likely than not. So things change, you know, as we know. But right now, next year's quarterbacks are Sam Howell. And who's the other one that I think there's only one obvious first round guy. Maybe Slovis from SC would be the other one.
And that's what I'm saying. So if you know that your quarterback is in this draft, like you, I'm agreeing with you. You don't wait. You go get it now because, like I said, a whole lot can happen in 2 years. Maybe 2 years from now, that draft is a little deeper in quarterbacks, and then Ryan Fitzpatrick can hold you down for 2 years or even maybe win a Super Bowl. I mean, I think Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to surprise. If you get that boy Kyle Pitts, man, oh, my goodness, man. The way he's seen
but
that
the problem
rock.
Is the only way you're getting him is trading away your future number ones.
Man, I keep telling you about these draft picks, man. They're hit or miss. It's not.
Yeah, I understand.
Go for what you know.
I would
go
do it for the quarterback. I would have no problem with them doing it for the quarterback.
If we make two Super Bowls, what good are those picks?
Oh,
earlier second round.
Are you going to guarantee me that?
Man, I ain't going to guarantee nothing in the world because injuries always play that role. But I'm just saying, if you win in division 2 years in a row and you got fans like really excited again, I mean, for Dan Snyder, that's more money in the pocket. So there's bad PR he didn't been having over the last couple of years. Just having an explosive offense on the field will do wonders for them ticket sales, I'm telling you.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it, man. As always, good to hear from you. Brian, finish it up for us. Go ahead.
Hey, Kevin. How are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, Brian.
Hey, I've heard you talking about Parsons a lot, and I think that Parsons has a lot of red flags. I mean, he's a walking red flag. I've kind of done a little research on him. He was expelled from high school as a freshman for inciting a riot, and then he's got a sexual assault case against him at Penn State right now on a teammate, a hazing thing with three other guys.
It's a bullying thing,
I just don't know.
Is it a sexual assault thing? I thought it was more of a hazing slash bullying situation.
Yeah, I think there were some aspects there when I was reading into the court case, to make it a little more serious. After the whole Darius Geis fiasco, I don't know if Rivera even rolled the
I've acknowledged that. He may not even be on their board. He may not be on the board of many teams. I don't know. You got to do your work on him, though, man, because he is a gifted player on the field. He is an impact player on the field.
And then I saw Chris Sims' QB rankings with Kellen Mond there, and he's obviously, there's a lot of controversy about his QB rankings, but he's been on the money for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
And he's got Kellen Mond ranked above a lot of these big time quarterbacks.
Had him ahead of Fields, I think. Because Sims also had, I think, Wilson won over Lawrence, if I remember from a couple weeks ago.
So assuming he's going to be there in the second, I mean, that's obviously another road you could go down.
Yeah, I don't like Mond at all. Thanks for the call. I'm not a big Kellen Mond fan. He had a great game against Florida this year. But I've watched a lot of him at A&M the last couple of years, and as they were always talking about him as a future NFL quarterback, I didn't see it. But then again, what do I know? Wrong about a lot of guys. Quarterbacks are impossible. It's more hit than it's more miss than hit. We talk about this all the time when it comes to QBs. Basically, like a 26-27% hit rate over the last 20 years in the first round. So you're talking about it was somewhere between somewhere around a one out of four shot, pretty much of hitting it. And you just never know which ones. You got to draft, and this franchise will. You've got to draft high character guys for sure. This is why the Fields thing is interesting to me, too, because the more and more you read about Fields, people loved him at Ohio State. Coaches, teammates, everybody loved him at Ohio State. I want to tell you real quickly about BetMGM. Springtime is showtime at BetMGM. Baseball's back. And as the weather warms up, the hockey and basketball action's getting even hotter. It's the perfect time to take a shot at an easy 100 from the King of Sportsbooks. Sign up today using my bonus code, KevinS100, to win $100 in free bets when you place a $1 moneyline wager on Washington, Utah. And if either team hits a three, you win regardless of your bet's outcome. No matter what your favorite sport is, BetMGM's always at your fingertips with innovative parlay selection builders, daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com. Use my bonus code, KevinS100, to win $100 in free bets when you wager $1 on Washington, Utah. It's a new customer offer. It's paid and free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years or older, Virginia only. Please gamble responsibly. If you've got a gambling problem, call 1-888-532-3500. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
980.com, also in the Odyssey app.
Here's what's trending on the Team 980.
Hideki Matsuyama won the Masters yesterday. He got pushed by Xander Schauffele, who went to 16 in a two-shot deficit after Matsuyama had as much as a six-shot lead. But Schauffele hit it into the water at 16, triple bogeyed, and that pretty much ended the competitive portion of the Masters. Matsuyama becomes the first Japanese male to win a major championship. Matsuyama, the winner at Augusta. The Nats got beat 3-0 in Los Angeles yesterday, swept. They are now 1-5 overall. Chelsea Janes from the Washington Post will join us at 8:30. The Caps had one of their most impressive wins of the year, 8-1 the final over Boston last night. Oshie, Eller, and Sheary each with 2 goals. Washington hosts Philadelphia on Tuesday night. The Wizards are in Utah tonight to take on the league-leading Jazz. They were blown out in Phoenix after a tight first half on Saturday night, 134-106. Beal didn't play in that game. He's listed as probable for tonight. Washington, by the way, released Thaddeus Moss over the weekend, and that's where I wanted to go real quickly, just with some of the news from over the weekend regarding the Washington football team. They announced a bunch of cuts on Friday, and Thaddeus, boy, I don't know if they're thinking about Friday press releases that get lost, but there was nothing controversial in the release of Thaddeus Moss, other than, you know, last year, shortly after the draft, many of you had Thaddeus Moss contending for the NFL Rookie of the Year with AGG. That was basically the discussion in much of May and June and July. Who's going to be the pass catcher that ends up being a potential Rookie of the Year, Offensive Rookie of the Year? Will it be Moss or Antonio Gandy-Golden? By the way, I still think they like AGG, but I think this is going to be a big training camp upcoming for him, a big offseason for him. But Thaddeus Moss, you know, if you watched him at LSU, he was a good all-around player. He was not his father in terms of being able to run. He had some injuries, etc. They released him. They also released Caleb Brantley. You know, Brantley opted to sit out last year because of the pandemic. He was the one. Probably didn't help his cause very much. Brantley was a guy that certainly the last regime liked in terms of his talent. He's gone. And then they also released Javon Leak, who, by the way, was signed to the practice squad last year off of the Giants practice squad and then tested positive for COVID. It's funny because literally 2 weeks before, Brendan, they signed Javon Leak, when they were having all the issues with kickoff and punt returns, I'm like, just sign Javon Leak, man. He's there on the Giants practice squad. Get him. And Kyle Smith did it 2 weeks later, but he never really got the opportunity because he ended up being along with who was the other player that tested positive last year? I mean, Brantley opted out. Oh, Ioannidis. Ioannidis did, but he wasn't playing. So Washington had 2 players last year, right? I think that's it, just 2 players.
There was also an unspecified quarterback that tested positive too.
Well, that would have been Haskins, and that would have been before the season started. I think that that's true. I don't know that for sure. I remember hearing some discussion that Haskins may have tested positive, which may have been one of the reasons he was fine attending that larger gathering that ended up basically leading to his departure. That was going to happen anyway. By the way, I'm not reporting that. I just, if you're saying that there was a report about a quarterback that tested positive for COVID at some point, my guess is it was probably Haskins. But I think Ioannidis and Leak were the only 2 that were reported, right, and identified.
I think so,
I think
yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, I think that's true.
So I wanted to just share this story that I was reading over the weekend about John Harbaugh and a decision that he nearly made in the midst of a game last year. Remember that game, that Monday night game against the Browns, the 47-42 crazy game that they played the Browns in on that Monday Night Football. Harbaugh was on some show and shared a story about one of the decisions he nearly made in that game. If you recall, in that game, Lamar Jackson started to cramp up. That was a crazy game. I mean, Baltimore, supposedly great defense, the whole thing. It's 47-42. It was the crazy fourth quarter where, you know, there were like 40 points scored in total in the fourth quarter and multiple touchdowns and field goals. And then the final safety on the final play of the game, you know, as the Browns were trying to chuck it around there at the end. Anyway, Harbaugh was telling this story about Jackson being, you know, in and out of the game, suffering from cramps, and with over 2 minutes to go and the Ravens down by a point, they were facing a pivotal third down and five. And Trace McSorley was in there at quarterback. Well, McSorley went down, and on that play, if you recall, suffered a season-ending knee injury. So then it was fourth and five from the Browns' 44-yard line with 2 minutes left, down a point. John Harbaugh shared the story that he didn't think he was going to have Lamar Jackson available. He thought it was a 68-yard field goal, which it wasn't. It was actually from there a 61- or 62-yard field goal. But he really was struggling with the math at that point and thought it was 68 yards. And he was preparing to put Willie Snead into the game at quarterback. He had Snead practicing snaps under center on the sideline. And Snead was telling Harbaugh, it's my time to shine. And then Justin Tucker, the kicker, ran by Harbaugh and said, I can make this. And he said, 68 yards? No, it's not 68, it's 62. I can make this. So Harbaugh then decided he was going to kick it. And then if you recall, with the two-minute warning, Lamar Jackson came back out onto the field and threw the, you know, 44-yard touchdown pass to Marquise Brown. They went for two, they were up seven, then they came back, and then Tucker did end up kicking the game-winning field goal from 55 yards out, 45-42. But it's funny to hear a lot of those game stories. That's why I like talking to coaches long after these games are being played, because they tend to not really want to share some of that in season about what they were thinking about. He was going to put Willie Snead at quarterback for a fourth and five down a point. He had punting as an option there because they had timeouts, but he was going to go for it because the Ravens are all bought in to fourth down analytics. And why wouldn't you think that fourth down analytics applies to your fourth string quarterback who's also a wide receiver? But Lamar Jackson came out and saved the day. That was one of the games of the year, that Baltimore-Cleveland Monday night game. It was also the first inkling that you got that maybe the Ravens defensively had some issues, although, you know, really I thought the best defense played against Buffalo in the postseason was Baltimore's game against Buffalo in the postseason. They should have been closer in that game than they were. By the way, did you see McClung is transferring? He's going to enter his name into the NBA hat, but if he doesn't get there, he's going to transfer from Texas Tech. So it would be another transfer from McClung after transferring from Georgetown to Tech and then maybe to somewhere else. There's something wrong with that dude. In the whole transfer thing, and it's been, you know, the wild, wild west in the college basketball transfer situation, and a lot of that is due to COVID. But, man, some of it, I wish it weren't so easy. It's going to probably get easier in the future. I think there's going to be some legislation. I think Dennis Dodd wrote a story about that over the weekend, about everybody being able to transfer at least once during a five-year period without sitting out a year. Obviously, we've got the fifth-year transfers that haven't had to sit out the year. And in the COVID situation, we didn't have transfers needing to sit out a year. But moving forward, they'll probably not have to sit out a year anyway. When we come back, Ben Standing will be our guest. After that, Chelsea Janes will join us. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, team980.com. Also, follow us, take us anywhere you go on the Audacy, Audacy app.